Good morning, everybody. And it's a very happy, happy, sunny Thursday, so we welcome you here to the Wilson Center. I'm Gwen Young, the director of the Global Women's Leadership Initiative and the Women in Public Service Project here at the Wilson Center. I would like to introduce you to Belen Garijo. Belen is a member of the executive board and CEO healthcare of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, which operates as EMD Serono here in the United States and Canada. Belen, we are honored. I'd like to welcome you to the podium.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, and good morning, everyone. I'm really honored to be part of this distinguished group and very, very pleased of the choice of the venue given the topic. I'm sure I'm not discovering anything new if I say President Wilson was a champion of women's rights and was instrumental in the process of giving American women the right to vote. And the 19th Amendment became law during his administration. Most importantly, he referred to this later as a great honor and one of the greatest honors of his life. But almost 98 years later, the effort continues. And we wonder every day whether we are making sufficient progress. In brief, I believe we need to do better. And yes, we need to debate. We need to use each and every occasion to debate. But most importantly, we need to take our decisions into action, which is the most important thing. And this is the philosophy and the principles that have guided our efforts within our company. So at Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, which is the legal name we have to use in the US to name EMD Serono, we have actually taken a very hard look at the how and what we are doing with regards to bringing women to leadership positions faster, ensuring pay equity, and as a consequence, strive to achieve one day gender equality. So even though we are above the average, and I can share a bit some of the figures later on during the panel, we are above average in terms of women in senior leadership positions. We are not where I would think we should be, and we are very, very determined to make progress. We have very recently set up a global task force that has been working over the last 6 months to better understand what is preventing women to reach to the top, to help us go from the symptoms to really the root causes to be able to make progress that is also sustainable. And these guys have been interviewing different people, senior leaders, holding focus groups, and they come back to the executive committee that I chaired with several concrete proposals. We are going to start by establishing very clear objectives for our leaders and our organization, but we are also going to educate our people on certain topics. So we are training our senior leaders today on unconscious bias, which is one of the hurdles that we definitely identified. And we are working very closely with the task force to address some of the strategic topics, including, you know, mentoring, sponsorship, and most importantly, for females, flexible working schedules. And I can tell you that the impact of this will not be felt overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take efforts. It's going to take very strong determination and a lot of top-down sponsorship. We are putting this in the frame of the data that we have identified, and we start from the view that we need to do more. We don't need to build a very solid business case because obviously this is a common sense topic. And we believe that diversity and inclusion is actually key to succeed in today's economy. Let me use some of the figures that actually raised concerns and send a kind of wake-up call to all of us. I'm sure you are familiar with these figures because some of those were very recently published. If I say 217 years, I'm sure you would recognize that this is coming from the World Economic Forum Global Gender Gap Report, and it refers to the number of years that it will take until women have equal pay and representation in the workplace, 217 years. If I say 865 million, this is another key figure and is the one coming from the International Labour Organization that has calculated that as many as 865 million of our mothers, daughters, sisters across the globe are not reaching their full potential to contribute to the national economies, to their national economies, due to preventable causes. And that is affecting all of us in the end, regardless of gender. So what are some of the hurdles that we have identified as those holding women back from achieving their full potential? For example, depending upon where one lives and the social norms, the initial diagnosis and the treatment options and the clinical outcomes related to health topics frequently favor men. And when health costs rise, households may not tighten the belt as much for men as for women. And as a provider of solutions for diseases that affect women disproportionately, as multiple sclerosis, thyroid diseases, etc., we have quite a lot of experience understanding how to improve health and well-being of women. And we also understand that a healthy society requires much more than medicines. So we are investing efforts and resources hoping to improve the health outcome of women all around the world, from awareness to education, access to healthcare, and we are advocating for policies that can enhance productivity and, most importantly, advance equity. We see the bigger picture of how health and prosperity are intertwined for women, and obviously, as a private sector dedicated to healthcare, we are very committed to address the challenges. But we cannot do this alone. We knew that when we started what we call Healthy Women, Healthy Economies, which is a public-private initiative that was formed with the backing of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation in 2014, with the government of the United States very actively participating on this initiative. And as the founding private sector of Healthy Women, Healthy Economies, we have advanced quite a lot working with partners to developing actionable toolkits and providing platforms for governments and other stakeholders to advance on their own constraints and challenges. So the Healthy Women, Healthy Economies initiative, which is making us extremely proud and that we can discuss also later during the debate, is looking at traditional health care access barriers, as well as broader topics such as the impact of unpaid work, and correlating those issues with economic impact and success in the workplace. So, we understand this is benefiting already some countries, but we wanted to also incorporate this into our own company, and we ran an internal diagnosis that now triggered a concrete action plan to help our women employees to thrive in the workplace and to achieve their career aspirations. We are a family-owned company. We have been in business for 350 years. We are celebrating our 350 years anniversary this year. And obviously, caring for families and patients is really very close to us and is part of our DNA. In the U.S., we are also focused on caregiving. because the act of caregiving has unique impacts on women in terms of economic, emotional, and physical well-being. And according to a survey recently conducted by our company, on behalf of our company, 25% of female unpaid caregivers spend 5 to 9 hours in an average week of their caregiving duties. So to help bring awareness to this crucial role of unpaid caregivers, we launched another global initiative which is very closely related to healthy women, healthy economies, called Embracing Carers. And some of my team is championing this initiative are here today. And with those two initiatives, we are actively engaging in quantifying the impact of the role of caregiving and advocating for progress on behalf of those filling these rewarding and challenging roles. I'm thrilled that one of our key partners, the National Alliance for Caregiving, is represented here today. So thank you very much, Grace, to Grace Whiting, who will speak about some of the things we are working on together. Thank you for joining us. And also very pleased to have Stacy Stewart from March of Dimes here. Today we announced a new collaboration with the March of Dimes to promote the health of expecting and new mothers and their babies. And we couldn't be more thrilled to engage into this collaboration to raise awareness, but eventually to discuss policies that will have the potential to reduce the burden of care equally and shape women's health, empower them economically, and in doing so, something that we are convinced we can do is that we will improve performance. And this is definitely quantified by many. So as we continue to progress, we cannot underestimate the role that men play in all this to help us to achieve gender parity. And Gary Barker from Promundo has dedicated his career to engaging boys and men in the movement for gender parity, which is why I'm so glad to meet him here today and that he's here with us today. So to conclude, I would like to thank you all for your attention and for joining us today to discuss the impact of policies that could help us deal with these challenges that I have mentioned before faster and in a more effective way. I look forward to a very productive discussion later on with the rest of the panel. Thank you very much.